Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. We glorify you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for placing hunger in us to get closer to you, Father. That's what we want. We want. I don't know how I could be any more hungry than I am now, Lord, but I know you could do it, and I praise you for it. I just thank you for the last few days that we've had. It's been an awesome time with you, Lord. And you get all the glory. I'm telling you, it's awesome. And I thank you for it. We praise you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome night. I know it in my spirit. And I thank you for it, Father. And I praise you, Lord, for all the things that you're doing in our lives. I thank you, Father, for all the enemies that have been taken care of away from us. We bound them up. And they don't mess with us anymore. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Is that Marissa? Hey, how's that boy doing?
Well, I'm glad you asked. So I have some awesome news. All glory to the Lord. We are getting discharged tomorrow.
Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. That's awesome.
We are so excited. It's amazing. And we're so thankful to the Lord for bringing us through this trial and getting to go home now with him. Thank you guys for praying on Tuesday. Monday was really crazy. He like threw up with me every feed that I held him with. So it was like six feeds in a row, and he like lost a ton of weight. And we were reminded, because it we were discouraged after that, you know, because they had said that since he lost weight, he'd need to stay longer in the hospital and things like that. So we were discouraged, and we were reminded through a lot of the Psalms that we need to hope. Our hope is in the Lord. And you know, maybe we were putting some of the emphasis on like when the doctors were going to say we were going to go home and stuff, but it's all in the Lord's hands. We are, you know, we need to be reminded of that. And so, just so thankful that like the next day he was like hardly vomiting, and he gained like a ton of weight. And ever since then he's been gaining weight. And so, they told my husband today that we can go home tomorrow. So we're just claiming and confessing that he's just going to keep growing and keep gaining weight. And we're so excited. And I just, you know, I want to thank the Lord for just being so like near to us through this whole experience. And you know, it's been a trial. We've learned so much, like patience in this trial, and you know, clinging to what the Word says and his promises, and like just praising him for the blessing of our baby. And I just want to thank you guys too, because I remember the first time, like that first night that I told you guys about Jesse, and immediately you all, I'm thankful the Lord put it in your hearts, of course, to say what the Word says and basically like believe from him from the beginning, and believe that he was made whole from the beginning of the world, when it was before it was even made. And so just thankful for a family of you guys, and like believing with us, and encouraging us and supporting us, and continuing to confess what the Word says, the good report that he's healed, he's whole, he's perfect. And I'm sure once I've had some time to like go home and like soak it all in, and like talk a little bit, I don't know, closer to the Lord, because there's so many distractions here at the hospital. And you know, I've started back up at work some, and so it's just I feel kind of busy and things, and so I want to spend some time with the Lord and just really like going through it all. And then I'm sure I'll write it up and stuff, and I'll definitely talk to you guys a little bit more about it. But for now, I just want to thank the Lord. And I didn't know, Michael, if later on tonight maybe we could listen to that one song, Every Praise. That was kind of like a staple for Jared and I when we all throughout my pregnancy, when we would just like claim, you know, Jesse's healing and stuff, we would sing that song and like clap and stuff. And so it's kind of fitting, just at the end, here we are about to go home finally, and I just want to give all the praise to him.
I'm muted. Anyway, okay, yes, we can play that. Anybody else got something while I go look at this? Anybody got a prayer request? Oh, I know. Oh, goodness. I just got one from Lana. Let's see, are they here? Yeah, y'all. Lana, did you want to talk about your sister?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I wasn't sure with the car noise whether I'd get through. So Tuesday night, my sister Lily and her husband Dennis, as well as their 2-year-old Zach and 3-month-old Samuel, were in a huge car wreck. They were hit from behind and pushed into a loaded semi-trailer, which closed the highway down that afternoon in Chattanooga. They were taken to the hospital and discharged. Baby Samuel was discharged the other day with no complications. The report that the doctors gave was that he had some brain bleeds that will resolve themselves. And so she's asking for a prayer. Little Zach, the 2-year-old guy, walked away without a scratch. Lily and Dennis just had some bruising, some cuts, and seatbelt burns from this. So Father God, I just want to lift up little Samuel to you. Father God, we forbid these brain bleeds to go any further. We command restoration and healing to his brain immediately, Father God. I forbid the enemy from coming against this and using this against the family, Father God. I continue to stand on your promises, Father God, for household salvation for Lily and Dennis and their boys, Father God. And I thank you that you love them and that you knew them before the foundation of the earth, Father God, and that you are working your perfect plan and your perfect will in their lives, Father God. I thank you for this trial, Father God, and I know that it is for their good and our good, Father God. And so we just lift them up and stand in faith that it is well with all of them, Father God, that they are healed and restored, Father God, and that you are also, Father God, healing and restoring their spirits and drawing them closer to you through this, Father God. I praise you and thank you that it is done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We hook our faith up with them. We believe it's done, Lord, and that child is well, healed, and delivered. In Jesus' name, he's going to be fine. We believe it. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you. Right now, your angels are down there ministering to him. In Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that there's no bad curses spoken against that baby. We bind the doctor from speaking anything bad against him in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that he's going to go home tomorrow. In Jesus' name. We believe it. We thank you for it, Father. But we know that when we pray, we all believe. And when we believe, it's done. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, Nick, go ahead, brother.
I have a prayer request.
What is it?
Let's hear it, brother. I accidentally cut myself with my knife by mistake.
Well, what'd you do that for?
2 days ago. I was trying to sharpen it, and it slipped, and it cut me.
Mama, take that knife away from that boy. Okay, Nick, did it hurt you? Did it hurt bad?
It was actually on this finger here, and it was like pretty deep. It wasn't that deep, actually, but.
Let's pray for it.
It really hurt.
Okay, well, let's pray for it. In the name of Jesus right now, we command the pain to go from that finger. We command that finger to be healed up in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for putting it in, Nick, to be very careful with those sharp knives. In Jesus' name. It sounds like a real sharp one, Nick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Praise you, Lord, that he's healed and delivered in Jesus' name. Amen. It's done. Yeah, Barbara.
Hi. I have a praise report. The other night when you guys prayed for me Tuesday about my hip and my leg, I had all that pain. Well, after you guys prayed, it considerably lessened. And the next morning, which was yesterday morning, I woke up completely pain-free. It was completely praise healed. God. So
thank
praise
you,
the
Jesus.
Lord.
Thank you, yeah, Jesus.
Amen.
Praise
the
God.
Lord.
Oh, now you can boogie, gal. Boogie to the praise songs.
Yep.
Amen. All right. Anyone else? Okay, y'all ready for a little praise, huh? I'll just be asking. All right, Marissa, here it comes, girl. Let's see here.
Shabbat! Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go. It's who I got. Praise is to our God. Y'all know how we do it. Take it up and praise. It's to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Come on, say every praise. Every praise is to our God. I want everybody all over the world to sing hallelujah to our God. Every word of worship with one accord.
Every praise, I'm talking about every praise goes to God. Thank you, Jesus. That's a good song. Herschel did that. Oh, anybody else? Yeah, Geneva.
I was just going to say, Micah is jumping up and down and praising the Lord.
She's like, praise God.
But she, in the song, he went, woo, like that. And she goes, just like that. She goes, woo.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Praise God. All right. Anybody else? You like that song, Nick? That's a good song, wasn't it? Yeah, me too. That's a good song. Yeah, Missy.
I didn't ask for prayer or mention this, but a few days ago, I had some soup in the microwave and I was getting it out and I bobbled it or something. And it splashed on my wrist, on the inside of my wrist, and it really stung at first. And I ran it under cold water and I was just, thank you, Lord, you know, command this burning to go away. It burned for a little bit and was a little sensitive, but you know, I don't think you can really see anything anymore. You know, years ago, I burnt my hand bad from spaghetti sauce that splashed on my hand. And this is much more tender area. And I just praise the Lord that it doesn't even look like it might even, it doesn't, I can't really see anything there at all, which is amazing because usually you'll at least get a little bit of a skin peel or something. And thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, Barbara, would you email or text Benjamin that you got healed and so he can journalize that? Thank you.
I don't have his info.
It's Daniel Slujewatsky. Somebody wrote it.
What?
I don't know.
You can reach him in the group chat, Barbara. Yeah. He's in the group chat. You can locate.
Oh, is he on?
Yeah, he's in the group chat.
Signal.
Yeah.
Oh, that one. Okay. 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 You want me to?
No, not in here. Like, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, that went over my head.
Yeah. That's okay. All right, anyone else? Before we get started on the Bible thing, do y'all mind if I read you a little thing out of Spiritual Hunger and Other Sermons by Dr. John Lake? This is really cool. Y'all want to hear this? I may have done it before, but it's been a while. Marilyn, you want to hear this? I'm just asking. Okay, man. All right. Miracles under the thorn tree, it says. So I love to tell this story because it's the story of a hungry man. A short time after I went to South Africa and God had begun to work very marvelously in the city of Johannesburg, a butcher who lived in the suburbs was advised by his physicians that he had developed such a tubercular state that he might not live more than 9 months. He wanted to make provisions so that his family would be cared for after he was gone. So he bought a farm and undertook to develop it so that when he died, his family would have a means of existence. One day, he received a letter from friends at Johannesburg telling of the coming of what they spoke of as the American Brethren and of the wonderful things that were taking place. They told of so-and-so, a terrible drunkard who had been converted, of his niece who had been an invalid in a wheelchair for 5 years who had been healed of God, how one of his other relatives had been baptized in the Holy Ghost and was speaking in tongues. of other friends and neighbors who had been baptized and healed. He told of the powerful change that had come in the community and all the marvels a vigorous work for God produces. Dan von Vuren took the letter that he got, crawled under an African thorn tree. He spread the letter out before God and began to discuss it with the Lord. He said, God in heaven, if you could come to Mr. So-and-so, a drunkard, and deliver him from his sin and save his soul and put the joy of God in him, and if you could come to this niece of mine and save her soul, heal her body, and send her out to be a blessing instead of a weight and burden upon her friends. And if you could come to so-and-so, and they were baptized in the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues, Lord, if you could do these things at Johannesburg, you could do something for me too. He knelt down, put his face to the ground, and cried to God that he would do something for him. That morning, von Vuren was so stirred by the reading of that letter that his desire to be made whole got bigger than anything else in his consciousness. Listen to what he's saying here. His desire to be made whole got bigger than anything else in his consciousness. His heart reached for God, and that morning his prayer went through to heaven. Glory to God. God came down in his life in 10 minutes. He took all the breath he wanted. The pain was gone. The tuberculosis had disappeared, and he was a whole man. But that was not all. He not only received a great physical healing, but God also had literally come in and taken possession of the man's life until he did not understand himself anymore. In telling me, he said, Brother, a new prayer from heaven was born in my spirit. I had prayed for my wife's salvation for 18 years, but I never could pray through. But that morning, I prayed through. It was all done when I got to the house. She stood and looked at me for 2 minutes until it dawned in her soul that I was gloriously healed of God. She never asked a question as to how it took place, but fell on her knees, threw her hands up to heaven and said, Pray for me, Dan, for God's sake, pray for me. I must find God today. And God came into her soul. Von Vuren had 11 splendid children. 11 children. The mother and he began praying. And within a week, the whole household of 13 had been baptized in the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. He went to his brother's farm and told of the wonder that God had done, prayed through. And in a little while, 19 families were baptized in the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. God so filled von Vuren's life with his glory that one morning, God said to him, Go to Pretoria. I'm going to send you to different members of parliament. At executive headquarters, he was admitted to the presence of Premier Lewis Booth. I remember. Premier Booth said, Late, I had known von Vuren from the time he was a boy. I had known him as a reckless, rollicking fellow, but that man came into my office and stood 10 feet from my desk. I looked up, and before he began to speak, I began to shake in my chair. Oh, my God. I knelt down. I had to stick my head under the desk and cry to God. Why, he looked and talked like God. He had the majesty of God. He was superhumanly wonderful. And Von Vuren then went to the office of the Secretary of State, then to the Secretary of the Treasury, and almost the same thing took place in each instance. For 18 days, God kept him going from this one to that one, lawyers, judges, and officials in the land, until every high official in the land knew that there was a God, a Christ, a Savior, and a baptism of the Holy Ghost. All because Dan Von Vuren had really hungered after God. Blessed are they which do hunger. For several years before I left Africa, he went up and down the land like a burning fire. Everywhere he went, sinners were saved. Sick were healed. Men and women were baptized in the Holy Ghost, until he set the outlying districts on fire with the power of God. Glory to God. That was such an awesome testimony to me. Hey, Joe, you got any thorn trees out around your house there, brother?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, praise God. Lord, I ask that you put that hunger in all of us. Put that hunger for you to make closer to you, to draw closer to you and closer to you, Lord. And let us have those prayer times with you where nothing else matters but the things that we want prayed for. And whatever it is, it makes no difference, Lord, Father God, and that our focus is continually on you through that prayer. And we praise you, Father, that to get that hunger, you have to draw nigh to the Lord. In Jesus' name, and we praise you for it, Father. Anybody want that? Glory to God, I do. I do. I want more of it. I want more of it. More. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, Nick. That's right, brother. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Woo. Okay. Anybody else got anything they'd like to share before we get started on the bridal wedding garment? Everybody got your booklet? I sent it out. Or everybody got a copy there the other night, didn't they? Okay. I'm going to turn it over to Andrew and let him start. Let's see what we can find out about the bridal wedding garment.
I thought you were going to Joe first. Anyways, okay. There's a garment of sorts in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And it says there, for we know that if this earthly house of our tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For verily, in this we groan, longing to be clothed upon. That's a garment. With our habitation, which is from heaven. If so be that clothed we shall not be found naked. For verily we that are in this tabernacle groan, being burdened. Not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be clothed upon, that our mortal be swallowed up to the life. And of course, that would be the life of the bridal garment. Got another one here in Revelation. I didn't think of the quotes too much that are already in the message. I was looking for some new garments. And in 318 of the Church of Laodicea, I counsel thee to buy of me gold refined in fire, that thou be rich, and white garments, that thou be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness be not manifested. And we've had some real good counsel. An eye slab to anoint thine eyes. So maybe there is something you got to put on your eyes as this bride, that thou see. Many as I love, I reprove and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. So we have a fire here. You know, to be clothed with this fire is an immersion, a kind of a baptism in fire, a fire of love that never fails. And over here in Matthew 3:11, it says, you know, a baptism means that you are immersed in something. 3:11 of Matthew. And you know, we do groan for this, like in the first verses I gave. I indeed baptize you in water unto repentance, but who cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not fit to bear. He shall baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. So he wants to refine you in the fire and give you that white clothing, and to be a baptism in fire, you have to be immersed in something that I think is going to get rid of your flesh. So I got these lovely verses. Like, I got a bunch of verses here. I got even some verses for a bad garment. There is a bad garment out there. And that bad garment is in Revelation 13:16. But the good garment is also there, but it's a parable, and it's in Exodus 13:16. And I have a picture of this young Jewish boy, maybe 12 or 13 years old, and they still practice this Exodus 13:16, where they wrap a belt around the person's arm, and there's a little box up here on the shoulder. And they got and they put their favorite verses in there. And they got another belt that goes around his forehead here, and he puts his verses in there. And he's studying the first five books of the Torah. And why would he wear such a thing? You know, that we have to consider that there is a thing we need in our mind, and what we're supposed to do with our arms. That is of the righteous garment that is mentioned in the verses here. I also like what it says in Isaiah 61. It's going to get there somehow.
What was that reference, Andrew?
Isaiah 61. And, well, it's 61 and 10. I will greatly rejoice in Jehovah. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garment of salvation. You know, stand still and see the salvation of your God. He clothed you with a garment of salvation. You know, sometimes you do feel surrounded, you know, and you go through this salvation in your walk also. You got to be clothed with your garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness as a bridegroom. You know, the bride has to be clothed also. Decked himself with a garland, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. It used to remind me of a song when I used to be in the Church of God that my little daughter used to sing. I don't know all the words, but they used to sing the, "We are gems and here today, serving the Lord in every way." And there's your jewels in your garment. Some people who can afford really expensive wedding dresses have their dresses clothed with these jewels in them as a parallel. And these are just a few of the many, many verses that are there, you know. Some of them are kind of a little harder to see. You know, there's garment clothed upon. You know, there's quite a few things you can look up to know this garment. You know, there's a small one there in Revelation 14:1, but you have to look hard because they do use different words. 14:1 of Revelation, they use different words for what might be the garment. You know, and I'm just trying to look to see what it's there. And of course it says, "And I saw, and behold, the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads." So there is a garment there, a good garment there, and it's written. It's a covering on their forehead. And of course, some of the bride might actually be advanced in the future too, to a greater walk with God. Like, especially for the last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. Anyway, those are the verses I got. I tried, like I said, I don't think any of these verses were in what Michael sent to, but I was looking for something kind of different. And you know, it's a seed that gives you a garment. The word of God is a seed that gives you a garment. So I just, because if you can parallel these companion words to garment, then it sort of opens up different ideas on how you can think of what this garment is. It's quite a bit. I just don't want to spoil it for anyone else because I'm sure they have some interesting stuff too. So glory to God.
Okay, anybody else? Anybody else want to expound on what Andrew said about the garment of the bride?
You know, there's another verse in Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as God's elect, holy and beloved, a heart of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving each other. If any man hath a complaint against any, even as the Lord forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. That was the ASV. So praise God.
Amen. It's also in the numerics like that. Put on love. Praise the Lord. All right. Anyone else got a verse on about a garment and garment? I guess we should have made, we should have had you make yourself a little more clear, Andrew, as to what you were looking for.
Were these verses not right, or are they at least a little bit companioned to this garment?
Yeah.
Praise God. Glory to God.
Amen. Anybody going to add anything to it? Did anybody read this thing? Barry did. Julie did. What? And Joe did. And Andrew did. I know Andrew did. Yeah, Julie.
I know that David teaches. He gave the revelation in a lot of his books and stuff. How our garments represent our works. Just generally, yeah. That's what it means. So. There's a difference for the bride's garments.
Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Joe.
What made me started on that was I was looking, what the fruit of the Spirit is, but seven fruits. But I also see when they were talking about that attributes of Christ. They said it's probably some of them is the same. That's why I'm looking at it. So that made me look at the pyramid of, to read about the pyramid a little bit. And it says about it was settled in solid rock. That's Christ, but it is Christ itself. The foundation is Christ. And then what makes up a foundation is the promises. And then when it started from there, and what the chief cornerstone, why it's missing on the Great Pyramid? Because they haven't got Christ. Christ, you got the chief cornerstone, that's Christ. Not everybody got them. So I was looking at that as well. And then how to build it. You have to fit your life, your start of your life, reborn and things, the undergarment, to put in that building and to make up part of that building. You always be part of that building. But you could be rejected, like in that ship at the moment, it described it quite nice. So I was looking at that as well. That's what made me start on all this. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Okay. Anyone else? Got anything you want to add, Barry?
Not really. I guess there was the point made about the lampros garment, the bride's garment, and the leukos garment that's just white. The lampros, this thing glows. It's, radiates, and it's very magnificent. And it's at a different higher level than the leukos garment that the non-bride saved people have. And that was, again, as Julia said, it had to do with works. You know, the works of Jesus Christ that we do, you know, that prove the salvation that we have. That's all.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Anyone else? I got a little testimony, if y'all want to hear it. After Tuesday night, such a in my opinion, a good prayer meeting we had. We had one Wednesday also here locally. And I want to tell you, it was a glory-filled prayer meeting. We had some healing, instantaneous healing. We had deliverances. We had one little seven-year-old boy got baptized in the Holy Spirit. We've had a lot of things happening that day. We did it for 2 hours after the book club. And it was, to me, it was awesome. It was an awesome time with the Lord. And I just want to let you know that when you go prepare to pray, God's going to show up. And we ask everybody to be prepared. And like just like what happened here, it happened the next day. To me, it was, of course, with everybody right there with you, it was an awesome time. It was really an awesome time. In a way, I look forward to the next time. We're going to do it every Wednesday. So maybe every Tuesday night we can come in here ready to pray. Also, if y'all want to, I'm not going to make it a rule, but I'm just saying we can do that. It'd be great. It's a lot to pray about. It's a lot to be praying about. Anybody got any suggestions? Yeah, Julie.
Not a suggestion, just an observation, I guess. It's like I really felt the anointing of the Spirit Tuesday night. I felt like everybody was really in unity together, lifting each other up and praying and in agreement. And there was awesome testimonies even just Tuesday night. And look what happened since then in the next few days. I mean, God heard our prayers. They were powerful. And I was really encouraged by everything that started happening Tuesday and what you shared about Wednesday and, you know, Marissa's testimony tonight and, you know, Lana's testimony about her, you know, her sister and her, you know, her family being in that accident and everyone being okay. And, you know, just God's, you know, his favor on us, y'all. It was just really, really encouraging. So, amen.
Amen. Somebody else had to hand it. I thought. What'd you think, Pat? I'm gonna start picking people out.
I did not. I'm sorry. I didn't get a chance. I didn't get your email until about 3 minutes ago when you mentioned it. So I was reading it, but I've had my head in the messages here lately, and I know David was talking about, and I think the garment, the wedding garment here, or the garment of the bride. I guess I am thinking about that in what Barry was talking about, you know, the difference between white and the lampros, or I think it was Andrew as well. And David's message, I think it was this last one, he's talking about perfection or completion in Christ. And I guess I'm connecting the walk of discipleship or the walk of sanctification. And I've always thought, and you know, kind of always mentioned, that sanctification is a process with a point to it, and the end result of that process is what God calls perfection or completion. I'm connecting the two garments there, the difference between the two garments in that. And even in this, or the lampros garment of the works of righteousness, of God's righteousness and God's works through us. And I guess what that, you know, it's putting the pieces together, or the confirmation of those pieces together, that there is a place that the Lord has prepared for us to enter into that completeness of the death process and that completeness of the raising back up from the death process, to walk in that newness of Christ in us. And that glory, I just keep thinking back and thinking that death process having taken place by faith, and God puts his seal on it and manifests that reality in us, that death process removes all resistance of the old man from restricting Christ in any way to work in us, or releases him to be free to function at will freely within us. And I just think of that verse. I think it's in Colossians where he's talking about, I think it's being hidden in Christ. And I believe it's, you're dead and your life is hid with Christ. And when he arrives, you shall arrive at the same time with him in glory. I'm really murdering that verse, but I can't remember where it's at. But I guess the point being that we, not only when the Lord is free to function within us, it's because we are set free to respond in humility and in cooperation with him at the same time. And so we are just as aware of him as he is aware of us, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And it all happens at the same time. And I guess I'm looking at that aspect of being the bride, those garments of Christ's righteousness and his works being accomplished in that. I appreciate that, that story you read, or that testimony of, I guess it was John Lake's a friend of his, was it? Van Buren or whatever?
Yeah, it was a friend of his.
Yeah. Which to me is amazing because he entered into that very thing, I believe. And so many people have called it different things all through history and depending upon their particular cultural perspective or whatever, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know, second touch and, you know, all these things, but they all point to the very same thing, I believe, is what I was just talking about. And that's Christ released in glory to be revealed within us. And so, yes, I eagerly crave, you know, to be there to, for that to be released within me as well. So praise the Lord. I'll have to read this story because I kind of blew in late on that one. So I apologize.
Yeah. Oh, that's okay. That's fine. Yeah. The way they described it, some other people described it, it's God coming down because of your desire, your heartfelt, your surrendered desire to please him with everything that you have. And what God does, he comes down and he takes, the way they describe it, he takes the world want out of you, the flesh out of you, and puts his desire in you completely. That's what we're looking at coming up ahead. Same thing. And so that should be our heartfelt prayer. Is that, Lord, I'll just pray. Father God, I just thank you and praise you that you've given us the word that speaks to us as if you're standing there with us, Lord, that speaks to us and shows us the things that we need from you. Most of all is you. And Father God, I praise you and I glorify you in that, Lord. I know that you have told us by faith everything is there. Lord, let our heart cry be that we want nothing but you. We surrender everything to you. Everything that has hindered our walk with you, Lord. We lay it on the altar right now. We put it on the altar right now. We ask, Father God, through our heart and our spirit and our inner man, our heart, whatever people call it, that you would come and fill us so much so that there's nothing left of us, that it's all you. And I thank you for doing that for everybody that wants it, to the point that we give up everything he's got in order to receive it. And I praise you, Father, for placing that in all of us from the bottom of our depths of our soul and whatever. And Lord, I thank you for equipping us for the times ahead to help many, many, many multitudes of people, because we want to be nothing but that light that you were here on this planet in the days ahead. And I praise you and I glorify you, Father. And I know that like they did up in the upper room, Lord, that when they all came in one accord, the whole place shook the tongues of fire went throughout the whole 120 of them. Father God, that's my heart's cry right now for all of us. That your glory would come down and fill us, Lord, to so much so that nothing else is left but you. In the name of Jesus, glory be to God, glory be to God. And I thank you for your healing power going throughout this whole fellowship right now. I thank you for your delivering power going throughout this whole fellowship right now. And those listening, that those who listen are also raising their hands to receive the things that you have for us. And I praise you, Father God. I thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. And I praise you, Father, for your spirit that is now working in each of our hearts, even as I speak. In Jesus' name, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. I thank you. Oh, my, 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 my. Praise God forevermore. Thank you, Father. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. All right. Anybody else got a prayer? Thank you, Father. I don't know about y'all, but it helped me. Everybody want their eyes focused on Jesus, right? We got our eyes focused on Jesus, nothing but Jesus. And I declare and decree this right now, in the name of Jesus, the next time we come together, everybody's going to be coming in one accord, prayed up, repented of all sins, and we're going to have a Holy Ghost time here. In Jesus' name. Not that we can't tonight. We can tonight too as well. Glory to God. Glory to God. Woo. Wow. All right. Anybody else want to talk about spiritual hunger or whatever? Yeah, Pat.
Can I? When we were praying, I was thinking about these verses in Ezekiel.
Okay. Yes.
Because this, I was looking for, the, you know, it's the promise of the new covenant in the old, you know, in the Old Testament and the Old Covenant writings. A couple places, and this is one of them. And it's the pattern that God has used to place that new covenant promise, even using the house of Israel as that pattern. But in Ezekiel 36, in verse 22, it says, and this is God having pity on Israel's condition of their fallen state away from him. And knowing that he can't depend upon anyone to accomplish this work for him without his grace, it says, therefore, say unto the house of Israel.
What chapter?
36 in Ezekiel, chapter okay. 36.
Okay, thank you.
Actually, I'm going to start verse 16 because that's when his word came to Ezekiel. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings, their way was before me as uncleanness, as the uncleanness of a removed woman. You know what I'm reading of the King James Version? Which I guess is not a big deal. Sorry. So, wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land and for their idols wherewith they have polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries according to their way and according to their doings. I judged them. And as I read these verses, obviously, I'm thinking of the church of today that God has scattered out throughout the world, scattered everyone to his own doctrine and to their own religions and pieces of the word that they put together and carved out their own religion out of sections of his word. And he scattered them from among the nations according to their way and according to their doings. I judged them. And when they entered into the heathen, whether they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said to them, these are the people of the Lord, and they are gone forth out of his land, out of his place, or out of the place that God had promised them, the promised land, or the land of promises that we are dwelling in. And I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore, therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither you went. And I just see this as where we are at in the world today. God is bringing, because of his name, he's raising up. He's sent the seed out. He's nurtured and brought forth people and pulled them out of the nations. And I'm not just speaking to our particular group here, or he is pulling people through the seed that he's put in their heart and nurtured and raised up, and pulling them out of the nations all over the world. And it's for his holy name's sake, because he is going to raise up his standard in the world today against all of the evil onslaught that is happening today. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. And God's going to, his power and his ability, he is going to be sanctified in the people of God by his great work. And I will take from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and I will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. He's going to take that which was profaned among all of the teachings out there, among all of the various different denominations and religions of all that are scattered out from all of the world, and he is going to then take clean water of his word and sprinkle that clean water upon us and upon his people. And ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, all of your filthiness. We shall be clean from all of it. I think that it is looking toward something more than what we have experienced now in our present state, shall I just say. He is going to do something here. It will be a cleansing of all our filthiness. And I know we have it by faith now. All of your idols, I will cleanse you. And a new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit in you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And this is the thing that's always hit me. And I will give you an heart of flesh. That inner soul life that was so connected to the carnal perspective or the drawing of the world, or even within us as disciples, and in this sanctification process, as God continues to reveal the depths of that old man that we learn to stand against by faith and resist and put down and claim by faith that he is crucified, that old stony heart of flesh, God's going to do something that's going to completely eradicate that. And he's going to give us a new heart of flesh, a new soul, a new cleansed, freed, delivered, raised heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers. And God had given our fathers the land that he gave our fathers, they never truly, completely inherited. And we are going to receive that fullness of the land in this time. And the result will be, ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will be your God. In other words, there's going to be a transformation of our recognition, our full, complete entering into the fact that God is truly, fully, completely God, and no hesitation, no doubt, just pure, clean devotion, fullness, completeness, perfectness, all of those words. And I will save you from all of your uncleannesses, and I will call for corn and increase it and lay no famine upon you. And then he goes on to speak forth the various different benefits of that, which I'm not going to read. You can read them there. But I always then go down to verse 37 in that chapter. And he says, thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like flock. And I believe this is the part that God wants us to actively participate in, that request, in that desire, in that prayer. And I think that fits in with what we have been talking about as far as quantum faith and this perfectness, this completeness in Christ. Part of that completion is that very aspect of the original purpose of man upon this, in this planet, on this planet, in Genesis 1:26, when he says, I have, and let them have dominion. Let man have dominion. And our participation here in verse 37 is our participation in that request, in that place of dominion, to enter into that which he is giving, which he is giving. I believe this is the participation that he wants from me and from us, to learn to enter into that and express ourselves through prayer and desire and speaking forth his word, etc. So anyway, that's all I had to say.
That was quite a lot, actually. That's good. Thank you, Patrick. Keeps us in mind of what we're striving for. Glory to God, and allow God to do it by faith. Joe, did you have your hand up a while ago?
I just want to add a little bit. I'm talking about the garment, but I'm just thinking for... That's interesting for me. I'm like most of us, like to look in at pictures. That's why I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about the pyramid. What I want to add now is when you put on, most people did put on the undergarment, what David was talking about, it's with Christ, but they're not going on further, as in put on the whole garment, a proper garment, say for a garment, when you put on the, armor of light, you put on each piece as you grow. But sometimes, well, people don't have the Holy Spirit, they don't go on put on any more garment. They got the undergarment, they got the Spirit of Christ, but they don't put on the whole armor to born again in the soul. So they haven't put, they put the flesh on backwards, right? Why? But the word says, cast off all the works of darkness, then put on the armor of light. In other words, you have to get up your old garment, put on a new garment. But most people don't go on further than just undergarment. That's why I said you're going to be found naked. You only have an undergarment, and the other garment is flesh. In other words, your Holy Spirit means nothing to you if you haven't put on the armor of light, put on Christ, put on the works, the attributes of Christ. That's all I want to ask. add to him.
Maybe it's okay. Yeah, Patrick, go ahead.
So, just to keying off of what Joe was saying, there is that putting off of the old works in order to put on the new works or whatever is a state of it's a state of action. I know that even the first portion of the verses that I was reading there in Ezekiel, it's stating everything that God will do for us because of his name. But verse 37 now requires us to take an active role in that process, to become in cooperation with God. And it's, in other words, what Joe was saying, putting off that old man and putting on the new man is an active, it's not a passive sitting, waiting. It's an active participation in a process of, you know, of obedience, revelation, awareness, obedience of his word, confession, etc. So that's kind of what I got out of what Joe was saying, or a little springboard there from what he was saying.
So we have a part to play in it as well, right? Is that what you're saying? Mm-hmm. I believe that. I know that we all, as James tells us, have to do the word also. Go ahead, Nick.
I just had another prayer request. I've been waiting for one medicine to come in for my seizure medicine, and it finally came into the pharmacy the day I needed it.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. All right, that's great. All right. One of these days, Nick, you're not going to need that medicine. Amen.
I've been seizure free for 5 years.
Amen. Thank you for it. Lord, thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay. Where were we? All right, anybody else? You know, I've been reviewing that chapter in the Real Good News because of what we learned in Quantum Faith about seeing it already is done when you pray, seeing it is already done, seeing it. I think we talked a little bit about it some time ago. Our imaginations, our faith, our imaginations working with our faith. And when you see yourself as Jesus, like it talks about the Corinthians 3:18, that's what it's talking about. Is you see yourself as already fault-free, so to speak, sin-free, so to speak, and world-free. And if you keep that thing in your mind about who you are, well, that helps tremendously. You know why? Because if you keep it in your mind, I'm Jesus, I have Jesus in me. And if Jesus is in me, I need to act like Jesus, I need to talk like Jesus, and I need to do the things that Jesus did. So that keeps us in line with what the Word of God says about our imaginations. Our faith working through imaginations. And I see it as quantum faith said also. Hang on just a minute, Nick, and I'll get right to you, brother. I think it's imperative that we walk like that with our mind on what we should be thinking about. We already are like Jesus, right? Not that we're going to be. Not that it's going to happen sometime in the near future. But bless God, I'm walking like Jesus right now. And if I'm walking like Jesus, I have the mind of Jesus. I also have the character, nature of Jesus. And so then, that puts it upon us to help the Lord work this out in us, and that is by watching what we say, do, and all of that stuff. We try to think like Jesus. Well, how do you think like Jesus? You go in the Word of God, and you find out what Jesus thought. Andrew's talked about it many times. Pat has too. And we all know what we're talking about. It's just a matter of doing it, I suppose. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay. Well, good. I'm getting to wonder if I even understood it, but yeah. Okay, Nick. What you got, brother?
I was just thinking, like, the Lord is with me every day of my life. We're at, like, during the day and at night.
Amen. Praise God. That's good, Nick. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen, Nick. You go, brother. You look like Jesus, brother. You're getting a beard like him, too. Amen. All right, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
You know, there's a verse in 2 Corinthians 5:20. This might have something to do with what you were just talking about, Michael. We are ambassadors, therefore, on behalf of Christ. And here's a real good as though God were entreating by us. We beseech you on behalf of Christ, be ye reconciled to God. So who's really speaking then? As though God were entreating by us. It's a good verse if you're like, being tempted by the devil, that your words are not coming out right. You've told so many people about the gospel and how they get saved, you know. Oh, no. He said that to the Corinthians. And this is what the Apostle Paul said to the average Corinthian. So it was good enough for them, should be good enough for us. And, you know, there's a lot of good verses there on how we will speak. on how, you know, we want to get to this bride thing and we want the man child to come, but just how are they going to speak? Like, we beseech, some of us, well, all of us got saved because that happened to us on that verse. But is that verse only just for getting saved, or is it for your growth also? So we're trying to be cleansed with this word, sanctified. We want to be strengthened. You know, Paul planted, Apollos waters, but only God can give the increase. And from what's coming, and the wonderful example that is in the Middle East and in Africa, from our precious brethren over there, is kind of like, that which was is that which shall be. There's no new thing under the sun. And they were beseeching that way, as though God was beseeching through them. So, and we know that this is the power of God's word. You know, this is faith without works is dead. But, you know, if you take that verse and you take evolution versus creation, well, one would need to have faith in creation because the other is a dead work. It's not a work that'll make you alive, evolution. It's a dead work. If the person who came up with these ideas truly had faith, his works would have came too. You know, and of course the works of this other one went all over the world to every nation. And sometimes, you know, people might tend to argue with you about faith and works, and I'll show you my faith and you show me your works. But you know, a lot of mean things have happened in history. There was people who didn't have the proper works. They comprehended what it said, but they didn't back it up with works. They had wars. They all understood that this was not according to the faith. So why didn't they have the proper work? And some of the more fruit of the spirit that gives you the works that you need to have to be accomplished. And you know that because of the division, and you know why we have so much faction and division? How about look at those verses there when it, in Luke? In Luke, when it talks about Luke 22:24-30, it's talking about the benefactor there, I think. And you know, there it's mentioned in the nations and how they have a hierarchy over them. Well, if this type of item comes into the church, then you got a Nicolaitan spirit coming, and a division spirit coming, and a faction spirit. You know, I just want to see if I got that reference right in Luke. Luke 22. Verse 24, I'm just going to check it. Yeah, this is when they were all arguing about who's going to be the greatest. And a contention also arose among them. And this is where you're looking at division and beyond division into faction, which we know to be two fruits of the flesh spirit, demon spirits. And of course, the Lord is going to put an end to this right away. And a contention also arose among them as to which of them would was accounted to be greater. And he said to them, the kings and the nations lord it over them. And who hath authority over them are called benefactors. You know, they used to have like a caste system for this in among the imperial dynasties. And if you were a commoner, you were a commoner. And you were just a benefactor. And this is a spirit. And it'll make division and it'll make faction. And if you get this that's in the nations, and there's quite a few nations, and there's a place where they all get together, not so ye, however, for the greater among you, let him become as the younger. You know, receive the kingdom of God as a little child. And who is chief? As he that serveth. For who is greater? Who sitteth at meat or who serveth? Question mark. Who, not who sitteth at meat? Question mark. But I am in the midst of you as who serveth. But ye are they that have continued with me. In my trials, but there are trials sometimes to these divisions and factions. And I appointed unto you, even as my Father appointed unto me, a kingdom. And of course, there's the kingdom for the younger. In the verse prior and the verse of receive the kingdom of God as a little child. And, you know, we have thought about this little child quite a bit and we've seen in the Middle East and Africa, that little child, some of them have been taken already, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and shall sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay, so this is the who is the greatest, and not saying anything about I'm not taking any kind of position here or anything. But this was a verse says that I was reading it. And, you know, there's the things that we've went through. And I don't know if that was ever thought of about faction and division. So. Anyway, that's It's just a saying I wanted to bring forth on how you can see on a greater scale from nation to nation how this is deteriorating even within a nation, because everyone wants to be the boss. And with everyone wanting to be this greater, you know, you have that with political parties and people, and you have that nation between nation, and you even have this kind of thought with these different denominations, you know, and it's a pretty scary, but it's a good scary. Because you have discussed it, you have seen it happen, and it's good if you, like you said there, but ye are they that have continued with me in my trial, in trial of the trial of this these happenings, and sometimes I wish I was there to actually know some of that, and I know we can't discuss some of the things that have happened from over there, but anyways, praise and glory to God.
Man. Yeah, that's some good verses. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Joe.
Well, actually, back at the comments again, what Andrew was talking about was faith without works is dead. I was looking at, imagine this, you've got the undergarment, you're born again, but you have to put the garment on by faith. So it's not by manifestation. They can't see it. So you have to work on it. So, but people see the flesh and not the faith garment, because it's not reality. It's not visible in works. In other words, if you've got works, they see the outer garment. They see the Christ-likeness in you. So you just bring me back to that point. If you haven't got faith, but people... You think you've got faith, but it's not works. Work doesn't show, doesn't manifest your garment. You still got just the undergarment. They can see nothing. It's just you got the undergarment, but you're not manifesting the works you're claiming or by faith. That's all I want to add. Thank you. Yeah.
Anyone else? Yeah, Andrew.
I'm going to ask a question. But this question is going to be baited, because I remember a person asking a question to David Eales once. And he asked him, "Can you just tell us in a nutshell what grace is?" And there was silence for a while. And then he said, "Grace is all you can be in Christ." That's how he described it. And everyone was excited to hear that, you know. And you know, it's got a lot to do with 2 Timothy 2:1. It almost seems like the Father's commanding you to do that verse that the apostle told Timothy to do. Anyways, I pose this question. What would you say faith? If grace, and grace is pretty close to faith, you know, there's even verses about it. If grace is all you can be in Christ, then how would you describe faith in a short thing?
How would you describe it? I hate to do that to you, but
I'm looking at this from the point of view that something is already done, okay? But what's done? It's faith is, if grace is all you can be in Christ, then faith has to be Christ in you. There's no other way you can say that it's not. I know you say you got this faith, and you say, well, what would Christ do or what would Christ say? You know, it's basically that's it. What else can it be? But Christ in you, and you got someone else coming along with Christ to give you faith to faith, actually. And that's God the Father. And we know that by this faith, it has to work the love. And God is love. It's just, for me, faith is Christ in you. It's not you that live anymore. It's Christ in you. I know a lot of people might not think of, if you think about it, this word faith, and it is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. But this faith is Christ, Jesus Christ in you. Or you can say Christ in you, because everyone will have their own identity to look like a brother and sister of Christ. So it's a twin with Christ. You know, the twins, they look alike. And even fraternal twins, you know, male and female, they look alike sometimes too. Yeah, so faith is Christ, Jesus Christ in you. And grace is all you can be in Christ. And that makes a whole lot of sense when you look at Romans 5, 1 and 2. I mean, if you have Christ in you, you're going to love. Because you got to take up your cross anyway, so you know how to do it now. So it's kind of spooky when you think of it. I think, I don't know. Like, that's my guess. That's my answer to the question. I didn't want it to be poised to me first. Praise God.
Okay, go ahead, Missy.
Well, right before you, Andrew, said Christ in you, I was thinking Christ, you know, that Christ in you is grace, but I was thinking Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, he's our hope to be, because he's in us. We have him as the grace in us. I mean, everything that we need is in us. To come into his image, you know, we have everything, because that's, thank you, Father, that's your, what you're working towards in each of us. We believe we have it by faith, that we are in the image. We look in the mirror, but thank you, Father, for that grace to be what we can't be, except, you know, we can't do it. We can't do it, but he gives us of himself to be what we could never be.
Yeah, well, that's the answer. It's kind of an inquiry. Like, this is the, as Pat brought up Ezekiel 36:37, and we are inquiring of God to make this happen in us. You know, thus saith the Lord God, for this moreover will I be inquired of by the house of Israel. And who is the house of Israel now? You know, and to do it for them, I will increase them with men like a flock. And, you know, I've had this verse under my laptop here for quite a while. And I always looked at it 36, 37, and 37 is how it's happening. And some of us, you know, the 37, the dry bones, we sing about it. So it's a play on the next chapter, 37. Anyway, you know that you are spirit, and spirit brings forth spirit. And he's there, and he's the husbandman is the first to be partaker of the fruit. But you see, you know, could you imagine being a guy running a vineyard and you see this branch coming out and you go, well, the vineyard guy, he's just a man. He's looking at this branch and he goes, well, I don't know. I'll have to see if it's going to flower. But God knows right away. He'll cut, oh, that's not it. Comes up in the same, that's not it. That's not it. And then he lets it grow. Because he knows what happens in the future. So if he knows what's going to happen with this vine in your branch in the future, whether it be a sucker that's going to take away from the fruit's pulpiness and stuff, he's going to cut it off. But he knows when the branch is coming out, even before there's any fruit on it, that's not one I'm going to cut off. That one's going to bear fruit. Whereas a guy in who works in a vineyard and he's got these vines, he doesn't know. He has to wait a while to see if it's going to produce anything. That's how I see it anyway. The husbandman knows. He's the first to partake of the fruit. So he's going to know whether that's going to be a sucker to take away the nourishment from the other fruit, or whether it's going to be a side branch off of your branch that's going to produce more fruit. So, the spirit produces more spirit. An animal will produce an animal, a bird will produce a bird, a man will produce a man, but we have a land where we need something, an incorruptible seed. To produce fruit. And that is Jesus Christ in you. Because he's the Word of God. Right? In 19:13 of Revelation. Clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and his name, we have a new name. His name, the Father, is hallowed be thy name. Jesus is the name called the Word of God. And we abide in him. And spirit produces spirit. But I'm just, you all know this. I'm just thinking in a way that maybe some of you haven't thought about it. So praise and glory to God.
Amen. Go ahead, Pat.
It looks like we lost Nick. He had his hand up. Must have hiked out. I was just thinking about the quick version of, I guess, when Andrew said, you know, in a word, what is it? And I guess I was thinking faith and grace, or faith versus grace, or faith would be spirit and grace would be soul, or the place where it resides. faith would be motivation or seeing, and grace would be action or working it out. And obviously they both work. They're both a necessary ingredient for each, for the end result. So I guess just in a word, answering what Andrew had asked. So.
Amen. Go ahead, Nick.
I was thinking maybe it's like Christ and all.
Okay.
Would be the answer. Christ and all of us.
As far as the definition for faith?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, that'll work. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Amen. All right. Yes, Julie.
I liked what Theo put in the chat. Did you see that?
Uh-uh.
I liked his answer.
All you can do in Christ. Yep, that's a good one.
All you can do.
That's part of it, isn't it?
What I was thinking is faith has works.
Yeah.
So that's the do part.
Yeah. Works with it, doesn't it? Go ahead, George. Good to see you, brother, or good to hear you.
just thinking that faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and that it's doing what he tells us. If we do what he tells us, then that's faith, because usually it's contrary to what our self and our mind would tell us.
Yeah, that's.
I'd like to comment on what Nick said, actually.
Yeah, go ahead.
Said, Jesus in all of us, because that's also the communal lamp for UVM. Like, we all have our individual lamp, but we have a lamp for all of UVM, and how it shines, how God observes it. And that's all the souls together in this one land. And of course, each soul has their own lamp within their tabernacle. And that's why we have fellowship, so that we can all burn brighter. Because once we get a word, you get more spirit, you get more anointing, and we get more, we also get more light in our soul, and more bread to share, you know, with others. You know, you go up to partake of the bread by faith. But, you know, usually it's someone who hands it to you, you know, when they used to do it in the churches, you know. But because we're separated here, but it's an interesting thing that how you can get bread from someone. And by faith, you can have more of Jesus Christ. Because he is the word. And that bread enters into your soul. And the light enters into your soul too. Because we all know that's why I believe Paul was mentioning that to the Hebrews when he's talking about the temple there. So, and the items in the temple. Glory to God. And it is truly the glory that's within us. In him was life, and the life is the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. And we are beseeching by God's word to be reconciled to God. And that first piece of reconciliation could be someone's salvation. Then you got to throw them in the water.
What is that you got on now, Nick? Boy, you flashing. You flashing. Is that a Christmas tree? Or a Grinch or something?
It's the Grinch.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, yeah. Well, we're out of time. Lord, we thank you for a wonderful evening with my brothers and sisters. I ask, Father, that you place it in our hearts to do the things we talked about tonight. To seek and find you, Lord, with all our heart. And to have that deep hunger that brings you, brings attention to you. You bring our attention to us. And Father, we praise you. We thank you for that, Lord. The next time we come together, tongues of fire will just go out throughout the fellowship in Jesus' name. We praise you, Father, for all of my brothers and sisters. And I thank you, Father, for protecting them, providing for them, and to allow the gifts to work in their life. And Father God, we just praise you that we're coming into a time that we're going to be able to help a lot of folks with your grace and your mercy upon us, Lord. We praise you for that. We thank you, Father, for your love for us. We love you too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, good night, y'all. If I can find it.